Hi everyone, I'm Alistair Willis, Music Director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to our Aha with Alistair podcast. For our third concert of this, our 90th anniversary season, we welcome the world's foremost Kemanche player, Kehan Kalor, playing a piece he composed himself called Silent City. We'll bring you Brahms' gorgeous Second Symphony, and we'll open both the concert and this podcast with the overture to Borodin's epic opera, Prince Igor. Alexander Borodin was a member of the famous Mighty Handful, the collection of five Russian composers who stood for Russian nationalism in music and had a huge influence on musical culture. The remaining four were Mussorgsky, Rimsky-Korsakov, Balakirev, and Kui. You may want to remember those names. Perhaps on some game show one day you'll win the $1 million by naming all five in 10 seconds or less. I digress. Alexander Borodin was a self-taught, part-time composer and physician by trade, yet he had a flair for drama. He composed one of the most exciting combinations of opera and ballet that ever premiered in St. Petersburg. Prince Igor was its name, and was true to his ideals. It's highly nationalistic, about a medieval Russian prince who successfully combats the Asian invaders on Russia's borders. He spent years on it. It ended up being so epic that he died before he could complete it. His friends Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov and Alexander Glazunov finished it for him. For the overture, Glazunov had to rely on some of Borodin's sketches, but also his memory of how Borodin used to play the overture on the piano. The overture quotes many moments from the opera, including two parallel sets of themes. In each, he contrasts the musical style of Russia with that of the East. The first pair we hear after the slow introduction, a Russian dance followed by a sinuous clarinet melody. The next pair starts with the theme of Russian nobility, followed by a glowing melody on the horn. Absolutely gorgeous. It melts me every time. And inevitably, a little later on, one of Borodin's signature moves, we hear the clarinet melody and the horn melody played simultaneously. It's quite the patriotic homage to Mother Russia, with its eastern connections linking us to the Silk Road, and the second piece on our program. As you may know, one of the highlights of my career so far has been working with Yo-Yo Ma and his award-winning Silk Road Ensemble. This collection of unbelievably brilliant global musicians continues to open my eyes to world music. Here at the South Bend Symphony, we've been inviting individuals from the Silk Road Ensemble to play with us. You may recall that we've heard the Chinese pipa player Wu Man, Sandeep Das, the Indian tabla genius. Last season we heard Syrian clarinetist Kinan Azmeh. And this season we are thrilled to welcome from Iran Kehan Kalor, who's a master of classical Kurdish and Iranian traditional music and the world's foremost Kamanche player. He'll be playing his own piece called Silent City, which he first developed with the Silk Road Ensemble. So first of all, what is a Kamanche? It's a four-stringed, upright Persian fiddle that's been around for a few thousand years. It's tuned like a violin, but has a darker, unique tone. It's played with a bow, sitting down and held a little like a cello. It has a long neck, but its belly is round like a bowl and traditionally covered with lambskin. Kehan's piece, Silent City, commemorates the tragic 1988 massacre of the Kurdistan city of Halabja. It starts with stillness and darkness, which slowly builds and turns into an improvised, chaotic loudness. Improvisation is the core of Persian music. After that ends, we hear what Kehan calls the echoes of life, the search for survivors. The strings then hold a long, quiet chord, while the Kamanche plays alone, acknowledging and mourning the devastating event. The Kamanche ultimately invites everyone to continue onwards, not give up or give in. And what follows is a funeral march. This is not improvised, it is notated. It's a conventional piece of music, if you will, with everyone knowing what note they're playing, and this represents order coming back to everyone's lives. When the march is over, Kehan ends his piece with a dance, with life and happiness, as the silent city comes back to life. As if to say, we human beings will always find a way to be alive. Let's hear a snippet from the dance at the end. Kehan has played his Kamanche all over the world as a soloist and as a collaborative artist. He's played with the New York Philharmonic. He's won a Grammy and been nominated 5 times. He's won all sorts of global awards, including the Isaac Stern Human Spirit Award for his, quote, outstanding contribution to our understanding of humanity through the medium of music, end quote. We can't wait to welcome him to South Bend and share this cross-cultural musical experience. Brahms' 4 symphonies continued the classical tradition of Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Mendelssohn, Schumann. His symphonies are beloved by musicians and audiences around the world. These are staples of the orchestral repertoire. Any orchestra worth their salt plays them. and a few years ago when we played Brahms' First Symphony, I was so struck with how beautiful our orchestra sounded and the incredible response from our audience, I knew it wouldn't be long before we'd play another. Symphony No. 2 has special meaning for me. I got to study and analyze it as a student at Bristol University in England. I fell in love with it, and my awe and admiration of Brahms' compositional genius continues to this day. It took Brahms 21 years to compose his first symphony. He constantly felt the pressure of Beethoven's legacy. Brahms reportedly said, "You have no idea what it's like to hear the footsteps of a giant like that behind you." But when the First Symphony finally appeared, it was instantly recognized as the greatest symphony since Beethoven's Ninth. Now, with this confidence, it only took him 4 months to compose his second symphony. To me, there's predominantly a pastoralic warmth, a comfort to the melodies and harmonies. Yet, if this is sunshine, there are certainly clouds. You could say Brahms alternates darkness and light. This contrast of moods is a hallmark of this symphony. How it's constructed is simply genius. Let's hear the first three notes of the symphony. From this basic building block of just three notes and the gesture they form, Brahms constructs a first movement that sounds varied, yet is all connected through these three notes. We hear it again immediately in the horn melody, this time inverted. Those three notes inverted at the end of that horn melody, la-da-dum. And he gives this building block to the high strings a little later on. Ya-da-dee-da-da-da, and so on. But ya-da-dum, there are the three notes. The winds play it twice as fast. Ya-da-da-da-da-da-da, and short. So, da-da-da, there's the three notes. The strings play it faster still a little later. Yum ba da dim ba di dum ba da dim ba di, with this kind of rhythm, and we bum ba ba bum ba ba, little nuggets of three all the time, and of course we hear it again in the horn solo at the end of the first movement. It's also everywhere in the light-hearted third movement as well. Let's hear the opening. There are several there. If you take the two notes, yum, pom, then it goes up the octave, yum, that's the same note. Pom, 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 there are your three notes. And did you catch at the very beginning? Da, 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 dum. He just repeats the first note. If you take out that second note, it's ya, da, da. There we have. We've got the inversion. And what about the quiet beginning of the last movement? That goes by so fast, yet the three notes are there. Ya da da dee dum. Just the first three notes. Ya da da. Different rhythm, but they're there. Even the blazing ending has some interlocking going on. We hear yum ba dee da 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 da. And in that we have da dee dum and then da da dum. These groupings of three notes. Let's hear that. The infectious joy of the last movement, ending in the uplifting blaze of light we just heard, never fails to put me in a good mood. At the premiere in Vienna in 1877, the audience was so uplifted they demanded the last movement be repeated. And we'll be ready if our audience does the same. Thank you for listening to Aha with Alastair.